Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush.
3, 2, 1.
Contact established.
We are WCCP 105.5, The Roar.
Hour number two, Out of Bounds, William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. I almost feel bad about this because this week should be about games and it should be about matchups and it should be about the playoff. And it's just not. It's just not. The most fun thing that's going on right now is trying to follow what is happening with these searches and trying to sort out the dueling and sometimes conflicting reporting that happens. I mean, you've got people staked outside Jimbo Fisher's house taking pictures of Christmas trees laying in his yard currently. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable what's happening. If you just joined us, we got back at 6 a.m. from a great trip with women's basketball to Lincoln, Nebraska this morning. And so that's making this even more fun and somewhat delirious. Hour two of the program is brought to you by our friends at Crude LED. If you've got a business that you own and run, then you want it to be well lit, and you also want to save money, and you don't have to pick one or the other. Crude LED is going to give you upfront rebates for all kinds of lighting and fixtures for your business to make it safer and more efficient. All you got to do is prove to them that you're a Duke Energy customer. That's it. For more information, go to the website, crudeled.com. It's the easiest process ever. I don't know why other companies don't do this. KRUTLED.com. Visit their office, 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson, or call them 401-8506. That's area code 864. 401-8506. Headline, real headline. Jimbo Fisher Christmas tree rumor season is here.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. Dilly, dilly. We got a text about that. 9861566 on the Health Air text line. It says, quote, the Tennessee job is the pit of misery.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
For more on the pit of misery, actually, Florida State, which is, what is slightly better than the pit of misery? What is that?
What's a little better than the pit?
The
outskirts of misery?
There's nothing worse than the pit of misery. The pit of misery actually is basketball, like pit basketball.
Oh.
The pit of misery.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
They actually won. They beat High Point the other day.
And kind of Pitt football until they beat Miami.
I know. Can we clap for Pitt basketball for being High Point with their four players? Go ahead.
They didn't get to be in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
I heard this story about the team that played with three players, and I thought to myself, Kevin Stallings, what a gem. But it was actually ejections and stuff, not just all the players they have on the roster. Brett Freelander going to talk ACC Big Ten Challenge with us and probably a little Clemson, Miami, and probably a little Florida State. What's up, Brett? How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was going to say, the pit of misery, I lived in that for about 12 years. It's called Fayetteville, North Carolina. So, dilly dilly.
Very, very interesting. Well, let's talk about the other, whatever the slightly better than the pit of misery is with the Florida State situation and how quickly things have deteriorated there. And Jimbo Fisher bluffing one too many times at the table and everybody calling his bluff. And now he's got no more chips to throw out there. What is your read on this situation? How will this thing get resolved?
Well, I think he's going to end up at Texas A&M because I think, like you said, they're going to call his bluff. But here's the thing. It's a whole lot easier, and it makes it so that it's not such a bad thing to get your bluff called when you're talking about 10 years, $7 million a year. I mean, I could live with the disappointment. You know, it's but here's the thing. You know, you think the Tennessee situation is a hashtag shoot show. Wait to see what happens in Florida State if Willie Taggart decides to stay at Oregon. You know, if you're an athletic director and you're going to make a change, okay, and I went over this last night. I was at the East Carolina, North Carolina, UNC Wilmington basketball game last night, and I was talking to some ECU folks about this, about their football situation. If you're an athletic director and you've decided you're going to make a change, have somebody in mind. Have somebody, you know, a plan A and a plan B lined up just in case. Don't just make the change and then all of a sudden start groping around, because then you end up with, you know, what you've got at Tennessee. And, I mean, NC State had this situation, you know, in basketball a few years ago, and they ended up hiring Sidney Lowe because he's the only one who would actually take it. But, you know, Florida State has Willie Taggart, you know, in mind. But what happens, and I just saw that Oregon's trying to lock him up and redo his gig, or his deal. What happens if he stays there? Do they have a plan B, or now do they start groping around? I've never seen anything like this before, and it's gotten crazy. I mean, Tennessee fired its athletic director today. So now what do they do?
Well, it's very interesting because now you can directly compare the Tennessee job to the Arkansas job, where they don't have an AD or a coach, but they've got their crap together a lot better than Tennessee does, right? Isn't Arkansas a better job now?
I would think so. I mean, maybe Houston Nutt's available still. I don't know. Maybe he can go back there. But it really is strange. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. And like you said, it's not just Tennessee. There are others who are in the same boat. I mean, it's crazy. And it's funny because who would have thought that Ole Miss would have made a faster and better hire than Tennessee? I mean, you compare the jobs and you would imagine that, you know, that the Tennessee job is a better job, but I guess not. And by the way, I always thought that NC State had one of the most delusional, delirious fan bases on earth. I'm sorry. They are trumped. That's Tennessee wins the prize going away. It's incredible. I mean, the whole Schiano thing, if you think that the righteous indignation over, you know, Schiano being, you know, involved with the Sandusky thing is the reason why they didn't want him, then, you know, then I've got some beachfront property in Arizona for you, because they didn't like him because he was barely a 500 guy at a university in New Jersey and got fired after two seasons with the Buccaneers. That's why, you know, they didn't want him. I mean, the whole Sandusky thing was a reason to, you know, to storm the Citadel with the pitchforks and torches.
One more thing on, you mentioned Dave Doran, that whole thing where he was being courted by Tennessee. I mean, it is clear to me that Butch Jones did a better job at Tennessee than Dave Doran's done at NC State, if the two jobs are equal, right? And you could make the argument that Butch Jones has played in a much easier division and should have done more. Like, I'm not here to argue that Dave Doran's a worse coach than Butch Jones, but that is the epitome of a lateral move destined to end in disaster, right? And now NC State, because of that, is kind of stuck with him because they couldn't afford to make a change.
And here's the thing about this, Clark. If you think about it, if he would have lost last regular season game to North Carolina, he'd have been fired. If he would have lost last Saturday against North Carolina, he would have been fired. And now all of a sudden, he's got a 5-year extension with a raise at NC State. So when they do eventually fire him, when he loses that last game to North Carolina and underachieves again, they're going to be on the hook for many more $1 million. And that's what I'm talking about, how crazy this silly season is that it's not just the jobs that are getting filled. It's the, you know, the residual effects and the Dave Doran's, you know, it's crazy. It's nuts. We went into the wrong profession. I mean, seriously, if you're a coach, okay, and you get a nice job and you get a good guarantee with a great buyout, right? And if you don't do very well, they fire you, but guess what? You're still set for life. And then the other thing, too, is once you're a fired head coach, it's like it's a badge of honor, and then somebody's going to always hire you as an assistant because, you know, they feel bad for you or you're in the loop or whatever. It's crazy. Like I said, we went into the wrong profession.
Visiting with Brent Freelander, he writes for NSJOnline.com. He writes this stuff. If you think this is good, you should see what he writes at NSJOnline.com for the North State Journal, at BFreedACC on Twitter. Before we get to the football game that's actually going on the field between two good teams, ACC Big Ten Challenge, we did the women's game. Clemson wins by a point at Nebraska. That was dominated by the ACC over the Big Ten, I think 10-4. The ACC beat the Big Ten 11-3 on the men's side, if I remember right. Total domination by the league. What are your takeaways from a couple days of men's basketball in the ACC Big Ten Challenge?
Well, my takeaway is the same as it has been for every year of this event. It's all about matchups. And this year, the matchups really favored the ACC.
Yes.
And the other thing, too, is the middle and the bottom of the ACC is significantly better than the middle and the bottom of the Big Ten this year. And you know, let's wait till the real tournament in March, and then we'll decide which conference was better. Clearly, the ACC has an edge and has better teams, especially at the top. But it's so dependent on who plays who and where they play and those type of things. I mean, look, if Duke plays Michigan State again, or anybody other than Indiana, I mean, and good for Indiana for making that game as close as it was. I mean, that was a sucker matchup in favor of the ACC. Duke was going to win that game, and Carolina against Michigan, that was another one that was kind of you knew what was going to happen before. I mean, there were a few toss-ups. You know, the Clemson-Ohio State was a toss-up. You know, the Minnesota-Miami game was a toss-up. But and the ACC won most of those. But really, if you look at the matchups, they really, really, really were skewed in favor of the ACC.
Visit with Brett Freelander. One thing, Clemson goes on the road and beats Ohio State. I thought the matchup really favored Clemson, quite honestly, Brett. But Ohio State's still favored by many people, even as they kind of rebuild with Chris Holtmann. I said this on air yesterday. I think the way that they won is significant because Clemson kind of had to play their way out of a couple funks there in the beginning of halves. They did it in transition. And frankly, Ohio State's going to be a better team now, or at the end of the year, than they are now because of Holtmann, because he's a really good coach. What's your takeaway from Clemson basketball and the win against Ohio State?
Well, on paper, yes, Clemson was the better team and should have won that game. But listen, this is a program that hasn't gone on the road, especially to a Big Ten opponent, in a hostile situation, and won a lot of games like this. And like you said, especially getting down by double digits in the first half. And I thought it was a significant victory. I thought it was huge for Brad and his team to pull that off. Because of the environment, it really does toughen them up, because they're going to see much tougher road environments when they get to ACC play. But that's something you can't practice, and to be able to go into that situation, get that experience, and come out with a win was huge. And last year they did a great job in the non-conference schedule, and they kind of stumbled early in the ACC, and it really kind of cost them. Well, they're setting it up again now with a really good pre-ACC performance, and that's going to be a true road win, against a Power 5 opponent. It's going to really look good on their resume on Selection Sunday. But now they have to back it up. Now they have to keep it going, and they can't just plateau and get off to a bad start in the ACC. But I like what I've seen from them. I think it's a much better team. I think they're playing much better defense, which is huge. Because that was their downfall last year, and they're getting better inside play. Elijah Thomas is really a lot better this year than he was last year.
Now on to the gridiron. Clemson plays Miami. This spread, last time I checked, was 9.5. I don't know how this thing hasn't edged up into double digits yet. I just think this is a really bad matchup for Miami in many respects. Miami's had to win many of the same ways that South Carolina has, with a little bit better talent. I just don't see it, Brett. What's your take on this one?
Well, I mean, you hit it right there. When I see Miami, I see a lot of the same, a mirror image of the Gamecocks. I mean, they're a team that relies on defense and on big plays, because they don't have the kind of offense that will sustain drives. I mean, look what happened against Pittsburgh. They just bogged down completely. I think the only way Miami wins this game, or even challenges in this game, is if the turnover chain gets handed out a lot. I think they're going to have to take the ball away multiple times to have a shot at this one, because listen, other than the Notre Dame game, and by the way, Notre Dame has been exposed as a fraud since then. They've gotten by the skin of their teeth. They should have lost to Florida State. They could very easily have lost to Georgia Tech. If North Carolina had a competent quarterback, they were asking to lose that game. They were down by two touchdowns in the second half against Virginia. And then they lose to Pittsburgh. So I think Miami's been doing it with smoke and mirrors, and I think that this is going to be I think this is the start of Clemson building some momentum for another run at the title here.
He is Brett Freelander. Join us right now. One final question for you before we let you run, Brett, and get back to bigger and better things here today on a busy Friday for you.
Lunch. That's what I'm going to get back to.
Well, that as we said, bigger and better things. The idea that two teams from the ACC could still get in, at least, I don't know what the committee's thinking, but the powers that be are sort of setting it up that if Clemson loses, that they could still get in ahead of maybe a team like a TCU or somebody, and they'll stay in that top four. What is your take? I felt better about that on Tuesday night, doing the logical reasoning and thinking it through, than I do today about that possibility. But steam has started to pick up, in my opinion, on that. What is your read on that?
I don't think there's any chance that happens, because there's Alabama out there waiting in the wings, just kind of lurking. And you know that the TV networks and everybody wants, you know, Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide in this thing. And if chalk holds, they're going to get shut out. I think if somebody in that top four loses, I think Alabama's in. And although I think it's inexplicable that Ohio State is still in the conversation, I think there's a real possibility that they would get in too before a second ACC team. But listen, I don't think Clemson's losing this game, so I think it's kind of a moot point. But I really find it hard to see two ACC teams given the Alabama factor out there.
There he is, Brett Friedlander. You going to be in Charlotte?
No, I am not, actually. Oh. I am taking a rare Saturday off. I'm going to go to the UNC Tulane basketball game on Sunday, but no ACC. There's going to be no North Carolina team, so they're not paying me to go down there. So, sorry.
Oh, man. I was hoping to get some FaceTime with Brett Friedlander. We always love that. Anyway, enjoy your free Saturday. Enjoy your Saturday off. And we look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Outstanding. Talk to you later, guys. Get some rest or either a couple of Red Bulls.
Yeah, or both. Yeah, it's not an either or. It's an and on that one.
Good luck.
Thanks, Brett. We appreciate it. That is Brett Friedlander joining us here on Out of Bounds. Some pretty interesting stuff. I'm telling you, people agree with me. Miami is South Carolina with a little more swagger. Just saying.
He was very much on the same page as you. Quack, we have some breaking news.
Breaking news!
But we'll get to it in our next segment.
Oh, let's do it. We'll also go to the phones. Cole's been hanging on. We'll get to your phone call when we come back. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in just a moment.
You know cars and trucks cost less than Travelers Rest at George Coleman Ford. Did you also know George Coleman Ford is always looking to buy quality pre-owned vehicles from you? Even if you don't buy from them, they can make the process smooth and easy in buying your pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. It's the way George Coleman Ford has been doing business in Travelers Rest for over 86 years and four generations. Whether buying from them or selling to them, trust in George Coleman Ford.
I'm Guy the Insurance Guy. Today I wanted to talk to you about one of the most critical but least understood types of insurance. When I talk to people, I ask them, what is your greatest asset? A lot of times I hear, well, it's my house or it's my car. Actually, an employee's greatest asset is not their home or their car. It's themselves and their ability to earn an income. Did you know that 71% of Americans would find it very difficult to meet financial obligations if their paycheck was delayed for just 1 week? Fortunately, there is a solution, and it will help you attract and retain employees. That solution is disability insurance. I'm Guy the Insurance Guy. My company is The Insurance Source, and what we do is simple. We make insurance easier.
It's time to stop the debt collectors. It's time to get a fresh start. It's time to stop the foreclosures. Tax time is coming up. Time to do something for yourself. Time to get your fresh start. Come see Robert King for help.
Call Robert King at 864-222-0200 or visit his website at www.thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency. Robert King helps people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. You will need to change your card to a federally approved real ID to use it for air travel and access to federal facilities. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV, driving privileges in good standing, and a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
This is Brock with Tom's Barbecue. My wife, Beth, and I want to wish you a happy holiday. Come in and try our 8 homemade sauces, including our famous cheer wine sauce, our scratch-made sides, killer desserts, and low and slow Southern Smoked Barbecue. It won't disappoint. We're open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 to 3, and can cater any event, any size. Holiday party, tailgate, you name it. Let Tom's Barbecue make your special event one to remember. Follow us on Instagram at Tom's BBQ for fun giveaways. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom just because. Online purchase and print from your computer only at urbannirvana.com.
Have you met John from the Butcher's Block in Anderson? John has some exciting news you've been waiting for. Their Meat and Three has had such a fantastic response, they are now offering their full menu, including the Meat and Three, on Sundays from 11 to 3. Food's so scrumptious, you'll want to come back again and again. While the Butcher's Block in Anderson is the best place to be for their deli and Meat and Three, they also have awesome pre-prepared meals for those nights you just can't pull it together. Everything you need to feed the family, all ready to go. They've got 10 different tailgate packages to choose from, too. Swing by and pick it up on the way to the stadium, and it's ready to toss on the grill. They have a meal of the week that they post on Facebook with your chance to win it. If you have an event you need catered, they can handle everything. And they're a full-service butcher, too. More food, more choices, and more opportunities to enjoy the Butcher's Block, 1702 North Main Street in Anderson. Or give them a call at 864-359-2099.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
They never lose their cool.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Don't be so quick to walk away. That's me. I wanna rock your body. Please stay. That's me. You don't have to admit you.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. JT.
Got time, but I don't mind.
Yeah, I had to do it. I had to do it today. 654-ROAR is the phone number. Out of Bounds continues. I want to talk about games this way if we can today. We'll talk about it with you. If any of these teams playing wins, how does it impact the playoff picture? Where do they, if they're out of the playoff picture, do they jump in? How high do they jump? If they're in the playoff picture, do they fall out? What are the chances of these things happening? We'll discuss all that. But first up, let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines. Cole is up with us. Hey, Cole, what's going on?
Hey, Quack. Hey, Kelly. I'm actually driving up to Charlotte right now.
Good stuff, buddy. How's the traffic right now?
It's not terrible, but I mean, I'm not the only car on the road, let's put it that way.
Good stuff. I'm hoping that everybody goes up today, because I got to fly up after women's basketball tomorrow, so I'm hoping that there's a big log jam, like around midnight or something, with people trying to get there.
I've been hearing from, I know a lot of people that are either going late tonight or getting up and going tomorrow. To be honest, it sounds like more people are leaving, you know, tomorrow around noon or tomorrow morning.
That's not going to work. That's too close to my departure time. I'm going to need people to leave at like 9 or 10 in the morning.
But yeah.
Breakfast on the road is fun.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I was just calling about the last couple of days I've been trying my best to keep up with the whole Tennessee and just the whole coaching carousel fiasco right now. It's like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube blindfolded. I mean, it's just so complicated, all these things going on. And I was kind of just thinking about it is, with all of what's happening in the last couple of days, especially with kind of this mob rule thing going on, what kind of precedent is this going to set for the future? Because, you've got basically a fan base that just decided to completely overrule an administration, and for some reason, the administration actually listening to them, which is not a good thing to do. And then, you know, beyond that, you've got people that are doing just absolutely crazy things trying to manipulate both the Tennessee situation and the Jimbo Fisher situation. I was reading today somewhere that some guy admitted to logging fake flight paths from Texas A&M to Tallahassee. I mean, I'm sure some of them are real, but you've got people that are doing all this crazy stuff to try to manipulate the situation and all this, I mean, kind of fake news going on with some of this. And if fans are able to start manipulating the situation and changing what's happening, how is that going to change the coaching hires in the future?
You know what? That's a great question, Cole, and I appreciate the phone call. Safe travels up to Charlotte. Thank you. I kind of think we're already seeing it. Like, if you have a fan base that has that much authority to be able to basically be the audience in Price is Right and tell the AD whether something is or is not a good hire, then first of all, you're not a very good AD. And we know John Curry's not a good AD. We know that situation exists in Tennessee. But secondly, if that's the case, then there's no confidence in the coach that you're hiring that you're going to have his back or that the fan base supports you if you back him. So that, to me, that we're already seeing that. That if you have a fan base that's like that, you have no idea, I mean none whatsoever. You have no idea how badly you've damaged yourself. Tennessee has no idea how badly it's damaged yourself. Well, maybe it does now. All these coaches leaving and this power struggle and all this. All right, we now have breaking news. Kelly, you found this. This
is
breaking.
I thought that clip was fitting. Jimbo's gone.
He's gone.
He has accepted the head coaching job at Texas A&M per multiple sources, multiple reports. He is out. He has left Tallahassee. He gone. He never coming back. And he's not coaching on Saturday against Louisiana Monroe. He has accepted the head coaching job at Texas A&M. The Jimbo Fisher era at Florida State has come to an end.
Over. Totally over. Your thoughts on this as we put a bow on it.
It's about time, right? I mean,
yeah.
We all knew this was coming. We all knew this was coming. It finally, you know, it happened, and probably for the best, because that would have been incredibly awkward to watch Jimbo coach that game with those players that just don't want to play for him anymore. He was in his eighth year at Florida State. He had an 83-23 overall record, which is unbelievable. And Florida State will be entering into the coaching carousel for the first time in 41 years. When Bobby Bowden was hired in 1976.
And he's taken over a program that's probably not as bad as what Bobby Bowden took. Definitely not as bad as what Bobby Bowden took over. But a lot worse than what Jimbo Fisher took over. It's not the preeminent program in the league.
Well, I mean, when Jimbo took over the program, it had gone 7-6 three times in the 4 years before Fisher took
over.
That's true. He immediately turned it around. And he was the coach in waiting and all that stuff.
There was no Clemson in the division. There was nobody that was just stopping their rise back to the top. It was kind of a void where some teams were up and down in there, and then Jimbo was able to kind of have a stranglehold for a couple years. 10-10 in league in the last 20 games. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, you're now in a 2.5-year span where you've won as much as you've lost in your league. That's who Florida's. After 2.5 years, that's who you are. Half a season, a full season, not necessarily who you are. This 5-6, not who they are. But average in the league, that's who they are, in my opinion, right now. That's where the next coach is going to come in. That's why you need somebody who's dynamic like a Willie Taggart that can restore faith in this program to the throngs of fans, the tens of thousands of fans who just totally abandoned ship this year. They didn't even show up at games. I've been kind of surprised how fickle the fan support is there. That's a little shocking that you go through one down year and all of a sudden like the confidence just erodes to this degree.
A down year, yes, but also a down year in a year where, as a fan, you're being told you're going to win the national championship.
That's another thing. The false narrative surrounding Florida State.
I mean,
that's hurtful.
That's a huge difference
from
what you thought was going to happen.
Look, Clemson in 2008 experienced that. And a lot of times when the narrative doesn't match the reality, you do end up with this sort of culture shock that leads to changes being made. In 2008, Clemson had just signed Tommy Bowden to a $2 million contract extension. Because of the flirtations with the Arkansas job, again, real or imagined, they were there. At least the story was out there. And so Terry Don Phillips reacted the only way that he could to lock up Coach Bowden. Because you thought going into 2008, there was reason to believe Clemson was the best team in the Atlantic Division. They were picked to win the league in 2008, even after falling just short in the Atlantic Division in 2007. And then you lose to Alabama big, and you realize that the narrative surrounding your program had major holes in it. Like no one took into account the lines of scrimmage. There was a hanging by a thread element in several places. And so everything goes horribly wrong and you end up you know, you end up making a change because the expectations that people had were a little bit maybe higher than they should have been, but then you achieved less than you should have. So when your expectations are higher than they should have been and you achieve less than you should have, then there's a real dissatisfaction, sort of a like it's like falling down a staircase twice is what it is. That's what happened to Florida State. They were probably destined to fail this year anyway, based on the expectation. They were not going to go 11-1 or 12-0 and be in the playoff conversation. That wasn't going to happen. Healthy DeAndre Francois wasn't going to happen. However, they didn't have to fall this far. And so falling down the staircase twice means you're going to make changes. And this is what happens.
Speaking of Clemson too, Kwok.
Oh, boy.
I mean, we'll see Jimbo week two. I mean, it's not like Jimbo's going away.
Oh, boy. I didn't even think about that. That's
Clemson
that's a
plays
great point.
At Texas A&M week two.
Holy smokes. You'll get another, I really didn't think about that.
Clemson's going to see Jimbo the next two seasons.
My God, you're right. You're so right.
So you could say it's Jimbo trying to escape Clemson, but when he checks out that non-conference slate, he's going to be a little, you know, what the heck? I thought I got away from Clemson. Nope.
You would have thought. You get rid of Clemson, and then you go into a league where LSU, Ed Orgeron, they had a nice year. Well, 9-3 season there. They had a Arkansas is looking for a coach. You got Tennessee looking for a coach. Mississippi State just changed coaches. Ole Miss just hired interim coach. You're not going to win that league. You're going to finish like third in the division. I mean, and here's another thing, too. I don't think we'll ever know for sure if Jimbo Fisher really was going to go to Texas A&M or if he really wanted to ultimately leverage it. Like what I know that he probably, I've said this, he hates his job at Florida State. He wants another job. But if Texas A&M was the job or wasn't the job, we'll never know. Because the reality is he only had one choice at the end of the day because of how badly confidence eroded in his leadership by his players, by parents, by recruits who are decommitting by the droves and their families, by his staff who hasn't been recruiting in a month, by the administration, the boosters, the president, the AD. Like, nobody trusts him anymore. He had only one choice. Whether he wanted to or not, he had to go to Texas A&M. He did not choose between Texas A&M and Florida State. He chose to try to leverage Texas A&M to more stuff in Florida State, at least in theory, and it backfired, leaving him with only one option. I that's kind of the disappointing thing because my theory all along was that Jimbo Fisher wanted out of Florida State so badly that he would go to Texas A&M. And now we may never know. All things being equal, if there was like a offer, counter offer kind of thing on the table, that never happened with Jimbo Fisher. You see what I mean? Like, we had this argument, and you argued for Florida State and argued with Texas A&M, and I thought we would resolve it, and really we haven't.
Well,
we have not resolved it.
We're kind of arguing which job is better, but that was in a vacuum.
When
you add context, it's tough because Jimbo obviously hated his life. And not necessarily, but he could not get along with the administration. He could not get along with anybody. His players, he had lost the locker room. I think that's a big thing. The players didn't want to play for him anymore. And like you said, his hand was kind of forced, you know, because he tried to use some leverage. He tried to play his hand and then it didn't work out for him. We're going to keep talking coaching. I do have some more breaking news.
More breaking news.
Tiger Woods is leading the Hero World Challenge.
I've got it up on the screen, but I've not been watching really intently.
Tiger is 8-under and is in first place at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas.
I just can't focus on golf on Friday.
He's 5-under this round, and he's through 9 holes.
What
is happening?
Is this a good thing for you? Are you applauding this?
I've always said this, Kwok. You know how I feel about golf. I enjoy golf. I enjoy watching golf. I like all the young stars they have right now. That being said, they're still missing that transcendent star. And really the only one in the modern era that has ever existed is Tiger Woods. So if he's back and he can actually win and compete and play in tournaments and you know, try to win on Sundays, that's exceptional for the sport. And look, Tiger Woods as a person is tough for me to rationalize, right?
Yes.
But Tiger Woods as a golfer is really fun to watch.
He's the most dominant golfer ever. Like shot by shot, round by round, most dominant golfer ever. It's nice to see him. Even if you hate him, it's nice to have somebody to hate again. Because who is really hateable? Like, you have to jump through hoops to hate Jordan Spieth. And you have to jump through hoops to hate some of these other guys. You don't have to jump through hoops to hate Tiger Woods if you want to. Here's a text from the Health Air text line. Transform your body in 90 days. I dare you. From the 864, it says, could this coaching move for Jimbo kind of expose him? Outside of Winston, his seasons have been nothing special. I personally don't see him as a savior at Texas A&M. Here's my answer to that. If you fired Kevin Sumlin because 8-4 plateau wasn't good enough for you and you didn't like his best year was the 10-2 berth to the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, whatever it was in, with Johnny Manziel, you could argue that the best year Kevin Sumlin was, again, it was like a New Year's Six type bowl. Jimbo Fisher's best year was a national title. So you could argue that even if Jimbo Fisher's a one-trick pony, if he can get that one trick at Texas A&M, he could win a national title with that one trick pony, that one time. Even if he's a one-quarterback coach, Kevin Sumlin could not do that. I think Jimbo Fisher is an upgrade over Kevin Sumlin in terms of what he did at Florida State versus what Sumlin did at Texas A&M, if all things are equal.
To me, there's no doubt that Jimbo Fisher is an upgrade over Kevin Sumlin. This man has won a national championship.
Would you agree they're kind of the same in the way they're perceived, that maybe Jimbo is a lot a product of Jameis Winston and Kevin Sumlin may be a lot a product of Johnny Manziel?
Look, I don't care who you're a product of. You won a national championship. The best bowl Kevin Sumlin ever played in was the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Look, let's just, if Dabo Swinney was a one-trick pony, which he's not, He's about to go to playoff with Kelly Bryant.
He
won a national championship with Deshaun Watson. Like, there's a difference between doing that. Like, to me, that is not the worst thing ever you can say about a coach, that he found a quarterback and rode him to a national championship. That is not a scathing indictment of you. It is a realization that it may not ever happen again for you, which is kind of depressing if you've already been to the mountaintop that you'll never get back. But all Texas A&M wants, really right now, until they get it, and then they're going to want more because you always want more. Clemson fans, all they want to do is play for a national championship until you play for one, then you want to win one, and now you've won one, you want to win more. You're never satisfied. But all Texas A&M wants is for that one-trick pony to take him to a national title. Kevin Sumlin's one-trick pony took him to 10 wins.
Look, A&M will take it, Kwok, because the bottom line is Jimbo Fisher won a national title 4 years ago, and the last time A&M won a national title was before World War II. So, bottom line, I think it's an upgrade. Even with all the turmoil and drama he's caused, if you think that in the end he's going to be happy at A&M and he's going to do right by people there, then you've upgraded. You've definitely upgraded if you're Texas A&M.
Interim coach for Florida State, Odell Haggins.
Who?
Who sounds like a character in The Hobbit.
Odell Beckham?
Odell Haggins.
Odell Haggins.
What's the guy?
Let's go Warhawks.
What's the guy in Lord of the Rings?
I know nothing about Lord of the Rings.
Baggins or something? What's the guy's name? The character in Lord of the Rings. I got to look that up during the break because that's what it sounds like. That you've got a character from Lord of the Rings that's leading the charge against the fighting UL Monroe Warhawks.
We had a caller just call in and ask for confirmation. We'll just say it one more time. In case you missed it.
Why is anyone... Haven't we been confirming it for 10 minutes?
No, he just got in the car.
All right, okay.
Because this is huge news.
I thought it was somebody being skeptical.
No. Okay. He was a fan of the show.
Never mind.
It's okay, Kwok. It's okay. Don't get too defensive.
Sorry, 6 a.m. Go ahead.
Jimbo Fisher is now your head coach at Texas A&M. Clemson will see him week two. A little earlier than planned, but hey.
Bilbo Baggins is the one. Basically, Bilbo Baggins is the interim coach at Florida State. Look up Bilbo Baggins during the break.
Oh my gosh, a lot of people are texting
us.
Yeah.
Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your Daily Tiger Update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, we're in Tiger Town. Founders Federal Credit Union is in Clemson for all your financial needs. With products and services like free checking with e-statements, loans for all reasons, the Founders app with mobile deposit and Founders online, you can be all in at Founders and all in with your national champion, Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show as preparations continue for Clemson's showdown with Miami in the ACC Championship game Saturday night in Charlotte. Hope that you can be there. Clemson will be chasing its 17th ACC Championship. The 16 is the most in the history of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Florida State is second with 15. The Tigers have won each of the last two titles and will attempt to be making it three in a row for the first time since 1986, 87, and 88. Clemson also won three in a row, 1965, 1966, and 1967. Florida State, the last school to win three in a row in the ACC, and they did that in 2012, 2013, and 2014. Clemson has 22 conference championships overall, the most of any current ACC school. Duke is actually second with 18. The Tigers won the 1900, 1902, and 1903 SIAA conference championships under John Heisman. Then in 1906, they won the SIAA under Bob Williams. And in 1940 and 1948, Southern Conference titles under Frank Howard. Howard won eight conference titles overall, two Southern Conference titles, and six titles in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Should be a lot of fun Saturday night in Charlotte. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
It's a great time to buy a new or certified pre-owned Ford car, truck, or SUV from Anderson Ford on Clemson Boulevard. With approved credit, you could be in a brand new Fusion, Escape, Edge, Focus, Explorer, or F-150. With approved credit, 0% financing could be available. You heard right. 0% APR with approved credit could be yours. A new Ford car, truck, or SUV. Anderson Ford. Doing business differently. Anderson Ford. 3900 Clemson Boulevard, Anderson. Online at andersonfordsc.com.
Bring your own tools, pull the parts you need, and save big. At LKQ Pick Your Part, you'll find millions of parts from hundreds of cars and trucks to choose from. Right now, download our PYP Garage app. Get instant notifications when your vehicle comes to an LKQ Pick Your Part near you. Sign up for our PYP Garage and start earning points towards discounts on future purchases at LKQ Pick Your Part. It's easy and free to sign up. Visit LKQPickYourPart.com for more information or visit us today and save big. What's in your garage?
Human Technologies Incorporated can save your company time and money. How? They'll create a custom solution for your company's need. Organizational? Yes. Manufacturing? Absolutely. Employment? You bet. They can help you find new team members or launch and manage a startup. They'll help train and build your team. Human Technologies Incorporated is ready to hit the ground running for you. Let HTI bring the solutions to your problems. Visit any of our upstate offices in Seneca, Malden, Anderson, and Spartanburg, or log on to htijobs.com.
Hey everybody, have you heard the news? Diamonds and Gold Direct has been voted the best jewelry store in Anderson for the third year in a row. The people of Anderson know a great jewelry store, and by stopping by, you'll see why everybody voted for Diamonds and Gold Direct. Great price, great selection, and great service made us number one. Located in the Belvedere Plaza, across the street from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. And cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Number two rolls on here on Out of Bounds. It has been a fun show so far. I mean, just so much going on. We have breaking news all over the board, and we can't wait to get back to it. I do have to let you guys know, this hour of the program is brought to you by our good friend Jana Candler and Jana Candler Properties. She has a passion for homes and a passion for finding families' houses to call home. You need to call her. She wants to put the real back in real estate. She's one of the best in the business. She's new to the business, but she has done exceptional things in a short time, and she will help you get into the home of your dreams in the upstate. So give her a call, 864-679-5619. And maybe one of the best ways to find out what she's about is to visit her Facebook page, Jana Candler Properties. That's Jana Candler Properties, putting the real back in real estate.
Thanks very much, Kelly. Let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines here. I swear to you, as God is my witness, we will talk about games today. We will. But this is way more fun.
We've talked about Florida State, Louisiana, Monroe.
We have, tremendously. I think clearly they're going to cover the 20. How are they going to win this? How Florida State winning this game?
This has to be the cover, like just the easiest pick. If I lose this, it's my fault because I picked it and I tainted it.
We got Seminole Ted up next. We'll go to Jonathan first, but I want to get Seminole Ted's gauge on because
he seems to be okay.
If you think that you got a read on this team emotionally, I want to hear that because they could totally go in a tank like nothing mattered. What is life like? Nothing matters. Emo about this. Or they could be, like, basically us against the world and go win by 50, like Florida State's supposed to.
That's true. I answered the phone, and it said, it's Seminole Ted. And I said, Ted, are you okay? You know? And he said, I'm fine.
You give him a pat on the head?
Yeah, I was like, Ted, are you okay? Do you need anything?
It's probably better than, we'll get to that. I'm sure as everybody else, the Florida State fans are ticked at Jimbo using them and abusing them every 9 months to try to get what he wants. Jonathan is up with us first on the phone lines this segment. What's up, Jonathan?
Not too much. I just wanted to call and say that the majority of us Aggie fans that aren't millionaire and billionaire oil tycoons do not like this hire whatsoever.
Okay.
I do not like where Jimbo's been heading at Florida State. I don't like what he represents in his players. Majority of us want it to go with Aggie Chad Morris. You know, he's an alumni. And he helped build what Clemson has here, and that's what we wanted. And I've called several newspapers in College Station area, Dallas Morning News. And there's several sports writers that I've talked to that they felt the same way, but no one wanted to put anything out there bad about Jimbo and try to prevent any of this from happening. But this is all because of billionaire and millionaire oil tycoons getting what they want. And I'll tell you right now, earlier in the season, y'all had the before the season started, y'all had people calling in and doing the big picks or whatever, and I was the one who called in, and A&M could be a sleeping giant, and they could make it into the playoffs and stuff, and I knew that wouldn't really happen. But I will right now say that this 10-year contract and the next 10 years, A&M will not win the SEC West, will not win a national title with Jimbo Fisher, because he's on the downward swing right now. And Chad Morris, with his offensive mastermind that he has, and if we could have got him for a whole lot cheaper, and then you could have threw money at Chavis and had Chavis stay, the two of them, they could have done wonders at A&M and built them into the next Clemson. And then you have Taggart at Oregon. I think that's where this all comes down to, is Sexton, who's Jimbo and Taggart's agent, was trying to get more money for Taggart at Oregon and also possibly get him into the Florida State job, and both of them get a big money grab at the same time.
You know, that's a very interesting perspective, Jonathan. And I said that Jimbo was an upgrade over Sumlin, and I think this is why it's tricky, because I also agree with you that I don't think this is the kind of hire that Texas A&M fans wanted. When you get rid of Sumlin, you want to get somebody who's going to lead you to a national championship. I don't know that Chad Morris will do that for you. I'm pretty sure Jimbo Fisher is not going to do that for you for the reasons you just laid out. Appreciate the phone call. That's a great perspective.
Well, I also had one more thing.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
That, you know, the way that the A&M fans are, we're very emotional and sympathetic to things. And, you know, 5 years from now, Jimbo's going to be doing horrible, but we're not going to let him go. Well, first off, it's going to be a big buyout because he's in a 10-year contract. And second off, he has a son who has to go for treatments twice, three times a year in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so that's going to play into it as well. And, you know, I've been I've been telling everybody that's what's going to happen. And I think that's part of the reason why Jimbo took the job as well, is he'll end up moving his ex-wife and his son to Texas, so he'll be closer to where he gets his treatments as well.
That's a fair point, Jonathan. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's the tricky thing every time you, and I always say, don't fire a 9-1 coach. You know, that's my mantra. I don't know if people knew this, but that's my mantra.
You don't say. Your one rule.
Don't fire a 9-1 coach. Kevin Sumlin was an 8-win coach, so you can fire them. 8-4, there's a track record of success there. 9-1 coaches, you fire them, you don't have success. Jimbo Fisher is an upgrade over Kevin Sumlin, but when you fire Kevin Sumlin, or when you want Kevin Sumlin gone, you don't want what Jimbo Fisher is going to bring you. Like, that's the bad thing about this coaching search, is that when you fire a coach that's winning 2/3 of the time, the only thing that's a success in your mind is if you get somebody that would just rock everybody's socks off. Kelly, do you agree with that? Like, what? I'm not sure that there would have been a hire that Texas A&M, that all parties at Texas A&M would have been about.
No,
after Sumlin.
I don't think so. And that's the thing, is A&M, I think it was a great call, by the way. I mean, A&M to me is just a confusing program, because they invest, they have so much money, they bring in the most revenue of any Division I athletic program in the country. Their stadium seats 100,000. They're rabid football fans, but they're just never very good. So it's just kind of, I don't know exactly what they want or what they expect. And this guy won a national title 4 years ago. I get that you're a little hesitant with how he treated Florida State. I totally get that. I also am kind of wondering why on earth they signed him to a 10-year contract.
That probably is what it took to, I mean, look, the
Tomahawk
guy's
Nation
a king of leverage.
Is reporting 10-year contract worth $75 million.
$7.5 million a year. You know why?
Why would you do that?
You know why? It's because, and this is a downside to have, you got to have money to make the world, money makes the world go around. You got to have money to be relevant.
But when people know
football,
you have money.
When you have money, you want to spend money. The worst thing you can be if you have money is stingy or cheap, because then when it doesn't work out, it's your fault. Now, if it doesn't work out, it's the coach's fault, because you've done everything you can do as a booster. Rich people, I don't have money, so I don't know about this. Rich people love to spend money. They want to spend money because they want people to know that they're rich and powerful and they can do this. These people with all this cash at Texas A&M, they can't hire Chad Morris instead of Jimbo Fisher because they've got the money to hire Jimbo Fisher. That's the most important thing to
them. You're exactly right. The one thing A&M has going for it, the one notch in its belt, is that it has buku money, right? A&M has so much money. They literally have nothing else. They don't have any other notches in their belt. They have a recent Heisman Trophy winner who's a train wreck, but that's literally about it. But what they can do is pay people. And I think when like you said, when you hire Jimbo and you literally pay him the GDP of a small country over 10 years,
yeah,
you tell your fan base, we're doing everything we can. When you hire Chad Morris, even if that's maybe the better hire in the long run, your fan base maybe thinks you're going cheap. And if there's anything that A&M fan base, mainly the A&M Board of Regents, isn't, is cheap. They're not going to be cheap.
They're going to miss out on Chad Morris, too, because
yeah,
he's not going to be around in 10 years when this contract comes up.
Right.
Let's go to Seminole Ted. We got 2 minutes left in this segment. Final phone call here before top of the hour. What's up, Ted?
Hey, how's it going? You know, I'm okay with everything. It's not the end of the world. I do think that there were some deficiencies that Jimbo Fisher had. He was going to have to replace his staff. It's easy to just take your staff and go somewhere else than it is to fire your friends. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with Willie Taggart if that's who they get. But what's important is this hire has to be the right hire, because you can't be Tennessee or Arkansas and go through 10 or 15 years of mediocre hires and scandals. You got to get the right guy for your program. Like I said, I'm okay with Willie Taggart. I really don't know beyond that who I would want. I mean, it's just a mixed bag. I just hope that the athletic department does their due diligence and does what it takes to get Willie Taggart, because I do think with his recruiting ties, he'll be good for the area. That's all I got, and y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Ted. We appreciate it. I agree with Willie Taggart stuff. He's got some top commits from Florida out of Oregon that presumably would flip if he went to Florida State, and you got an early signing period in 3 weeks. That's a way to rebuild a dismantled recruiting class. Get the other guy to bring some of his. One thing, and I'll leave you with this at the top of the hour. What, Kelly, what is Texas A&M known for under Kevin Sumlin? What are they known for? What's their identity?
They've had dynamic quarterbacks at times.
Okay, they've had dynamic quarterbacks. What kind of offense are they running?
They're running some sort of run-pass option. Quarterback's going to run the ball.
Are they going fast or slow?
They're going fast.
Okay, they're going real fast. You know, Florida State is one of the slowest offensive teams in America last year.
Yeah, FSU's not exactly tempo.
Adjusted pace, 127th. They make Kurt Roper and Will Muschamp look like Speedy Gonzalez. 127th out of 130 teams in pace. That kind of slow offense is going to get boring real fast when you've seen Kevin Sumlin work.